Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Final attack point. Maverick inbound.
It's Pod Maverick.
Maverick.
Hosted by Kirk Henderson and Josh Bow.
Well,
welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. This is Kirk Henderson and Josh Bow. I got a little quick on the jump there for the video show. We are coming to you on Monday, June 2nd. It's about 8:30. For those of you watching us live, those of you listening on audio streams, you'll notice I keep switching up our intro music. Well, we finally got a version that our company created for us that I like, but we also have a version that Panda Hank made for us, which was on the previous show. I'm curious as to what people like more. Honestly, we can probably keep both of them, and then I could always use one for the introduction into the live shows after games. It's like two distinct audio feeds. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. No, it's really funny that all happened because you were messing around with your video, and while you're doing that, I have a controller plugged into my computer here, and I haven't really used it a lot, but I have it plugged in because it's charging to use it maybe later tonight. And apparently it has a feature where it vibrates to the sound that my computer is making. So while the video intro was playing, my desk was rattling to the beat of the music. And I was like, what is happening?
It's really good stuff.
Yeah, I was like, so, you know, technology.
Well, shout out to the recent few podcast commenters that we've gotten that let us know that we're not professional enough. Here's another professional moment just for you. Mm-hmm. All right, so another week of Mavsdom, and I just can't get over the weird feeling involved where there being no tension involved in a draft. Like, I just remember previous years.
We've literally never experienced that before.
Ever. Yeah. Ever. No, I've never, in any sporting event, in any team I've ever, it's just, I love the draft, and we're just kind of coming up to it being like, what's going to happen? And then you watch teams like the 76ers, and there's all these weird reports about who they could or couldn't draft, because they're kind of the hinge point for the draft. No, the Mavericks and the Spurs are pretty likely to pick the two obvious guys. And then it gets a little funky, whereas for us, it just kind of takes the drama out of things. I kind of wish we'd publish these things in a different order. But in fact, actually, we have something coming up. If you're listening to this live Monday night, on Tuesday, our man Tyler Edsel did a video breakdown of one of Cooper Flagg's games that I just really like this is the sort of stuff I just love about draft coverage from guys that have strong opinions about people and that also have a pretty good ability to describe what's happening in a game. Some of the other SB Nation sites, they've been asking, hey, Kirk, how do you guys get so many different people to write for you? And I'm like, well, number one, I do this cool thing called Ask. And then number two, I kind of berate people because take Brian Roby, for example. He's not written too much for us yet, but he really has a firm grasp of what's going on in a basketball game. Like, he can describe it to you in a layman's terms. And I just like these sort of these breakdowns where it's like, this is what's happening from a player. This is what we can expect. It's really fun stuff. So if you haven't checked that out by the time you're listening on Tuesday, go ahead and do so. And if anything, it'll just continue to get you even more jazzed up about Cooper Flagg. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the piece next week once we've had some responses, but you edited it. What did you think of it?
Oh, it was great. I love our draft. We've been pretty lucky with people that have been on our site that like draft. Considering how much the Mavericks have not used the draft since we've been covering the site, it's kind of a miracle that we've gotten these people that love talking about these prospects, and Tyler is another one of them. And I enjoyed it. And as someone that, you know, watched maybe 5 college basketball games total this past season, you know, nothing about Cooper is redundant to me. So anything I read, I feel like I'm learning something new, and I know that there's probably people that might read it and might be like, oh, well, yeah, I know, you know, because he's, you know, highly regarded. And if you're plugged into this stuff, not a lot of it is new news, but it's still awesome. I'm sure there's people like me out there as well that'll really get a lot out of it. I always appreciate anything, really. And Tyler does a good job of digesting it and making it palatable.
Early impressions on the Cooper from your sort of neophyte eyes.
He seems like he's going to be a better defensive player as a rookie than an offensive player, which is weird because that's usually the other way. Like, adage is rookies are bad on defense. Like their rookie year, that's just kind of how it is. Even the best defensive prospects struggle to acclimate to the physicality and then, you know, the space. I mean, it's just, you can't prepare. There's no preparing for the NBA space and pace. Especially when you're coming from college and some of these teams play, you know, rock fight games, and then you go to the NBA and guys are flying around and running to the 3-point line on the fast break. And I know some of that still happens in college. It's not like it's Neanderthal basketball in college, but it's just different. It's just a different level of athleticism and a different level of skill. So usually rookies are bad on defense and they get better, even the good defensive prospects. But I think Cooper is going to be the rare exception, knock on wood.
We'll see it pretty quickly in NBA Summer League where guys are thrown together to play, and teams that have good defensive players tend to dominate. So if Flagg plays in Summer League, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, at least one or two games, it should be pretty fun from the get-go. His movement, you look at him and you're like, okay, how did he get to that point? He's a special player in ways that I think are going to be very new to a lot of Mavericks fans, particularly, let's just say you became a basketball fan or a Mavs fan in the Luka era, which is entirely possible because the Luka era started in 2018, which is somehow 7 years ago. It's just a different kind of guy to be rooting for and starting a journey with.
They've never had a player like him.
Like ever.
Dirk. If you think about their franchise players, it's basically been Dirk and Luka since 1998, and those two were very different than what Cooper brings to the table.
The Mavericks got Sean Marion in a stage where he was starting to kind of become more of a specialized role player, but the early Sean Marion years, like the weirdness and the things that he could do at 6'7", I don't necessarily think it's a Cooper comp, but it's just there's guys sometimes at certain sizes and in positions that can play all over the floor. Our man Panda Hank 41 did a video with four player comps that I think you should go find on YouTube if you haven't looked at it, that really gets into the nuts and bolts here. Well, shoot, we're 8.5 minutes into the show already, and we haven't even like touched on our light rundown. So let's start. You know, there's been a fair amount of funny stuff over the last couple of days. I think we should start with your piece that you wrote over the weekend that was, I'll just let you take the floor here.
Yeah, I think it's not a unique opinion. It's kind of been bubbling for a bit, but I mean, basically since the draft lottery, you know, Nico has not been seen public, you know, done any public media. I've just been watching. And so Matt Riccardi, with his assistant Mavericks GM, came to the team in 2022 from Brooklyn as a senior front office guy, and then got promoted to assistant general manager August of 2023. I had never heard his voice before, ever. And then I heard his voice for the first time when he was doing a podcast for the Mavericks official podcast that is hosted by television broadcaster Mark Falwell and radio broadcaster Brian Damaris. First time I ever heard him speak. And he was at the lottery. He was actually the Mavericks representative in the actual lottery drawing room, which is, you know, not a lot of people get to go in there. And then we've heard a lot from Rick Wiltz since the Mavericks traded Luka, but he was also doing the rounds at the, I think he was at the lottery. So I think the Mavericks representative at the lottery was Rolando Blackman, who was, you know, the person on TV on stage. And then Matt Riccardi was in the actual lottery room, and then Rick Wiltz was there too. And it was just, you know, I'm just seeing all this stuff, and I'm like, this is what Nico should be doing. Like, first off, it's good news. Like, if Nico did an ESPN interview at the lottery after it was over, I don't think he would have gotten too many targeted questions. I mean, this is all very positive stuff. You won the lottery. You're going to draft Cooper Flagg, who's a generational prospect, who is well regarded as the number one pick, who's pretty much universally locked in as the number one pick. Like, no one's going to, it's not a risky pick. Like, you know, nope. He's one of those guys. So like this is your chance to, after a rough 6 months, you know, 6 months or so, to kind of get to stand up on your feet and talk about something good that's happened to your franchise, and he's nowhere to be found. And at this point, I don't blame anyone.
I think it's a good decision.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not criticizing the Mavericks for not sitting out there.
Well, I'm criticizing them while also saying I understand it.
Yeah.
Like, it's cowardly as hell. Like, get in front of the news.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's probably the right call.
I know it's the right call for the people that have to deal with it. Which isn't him. Like, you know, if he goes on the Mark Falwell, Brad Damaris podcast, whoever manages the Mavericks YouTube channel has to moderate all the comments, because I'm sure it would have been a cesspool. I'm sure Mark Falwell and Brian Damaris's, you know, social media mentions would have been on fire, like asking him, like, hey, why didn't you?
Also, I mean,
that's not their job to do that.
It's also the really important thing is that the Dallas Mavericks GM cannot stop saying crazy sounding things.
Well, yeah, because he can't say what he wants to say, or really, you know, because he has to but it's hard to defend the trade without kind of saying some things with your chest, and when you're trying to walk the line and be, you end up being even weirder than you should. But yeah, so, you know, it's not the Mavs employees' job to clean up after Nico's mess, and so they probably don't even want to deal with it. And I just thought, like, it's weird. So we got the reports that Dumont is putting up guardrails for Nico, and he no longer has 100% trust in him. So you get that report, and combined with the fact that it seems like the team treats him like Voldemort, like, don't, you must not be named, and he's out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. So you've got a team that wants to hide him from public. You've got an owner that doesn't 100% trust him. That's weird. Why is he the GM?
Mm-hmm.
Better GMs have gotten fired for not as awful results that Nico's had in the last 5 months. The Denver Nuggets, Calvin Booth, I can't remember if he was like the GM when they won the championship, or was Tim Connolly? Tim Connolly had already left before they won the title, right?
I really don't remember. I don't.
Either way, I think he helped. He helped make some moves that help, and he's been fired. And the Nuggets made it to the second round of the playoffs. The Grizzlies fired their coach, and they made the playoffs. So why are these Nico making it through when these other GMs and, you know, those other front office personnel and coaches get fired seemingly at a whim? I mean, this is a league where the coach of the year gets fired almost every 12 months. Exactly.
Yeah, hell, it happened to Avery Johnson.
Yeah, I know. So it's not, the league moves fast with coaches and front office people because there's no salary cap for those guys. Mm-hmm. Owners can eat it because there's no rules. You can sign as many coaches and front office people as you want. There's no cap space for coaches or front office people. Obviously, it's going to hurt your wallet. But the Mavericks are owned by one of the richest families in the world. So yep. I can't imagine. I know Nico just recently started a fresh contract because he got extended last year. That cannot be. Again, that's wipe their ass money, whatever's left on Nico Harrison's contract. I cannot imagine that is such a binding factor. So it's just weird. You have a team that doesn't seem to want to acknowledge his existence. You have an owner that doesn't seemingly trust him as much as he used to. So, like, why put on this dog and pony show? Because it's just weird. It's just weird. We shouldn't hear from the Mavericks assistant GM. It's nice. It was a good interview.
It was a really good interview.
I didn't know he was from DFW. Like, mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a cool job. You know, I'm sure that he basically flat out said this is like a dream job for him. Like, I think he grew up a Mavericks fan in Plano, mm-hmm. Texas. So it's cool, but like, it's weird. And it won't stop being weird. Anyone trying to say it's not weird, like, you're being ridiculous.
I think due to flag, and which is, this is a fine position to have. Just let me be clear here. I don't hold this opinion, but I understand it. We're getting more and more in the interactions that I have where it's like, all right, it's time to buck up and move on. I don't really want to hear from you, meaning us, our podcast, about the Luka Doncic trade anymore. And I appreciate wanting to move on into something different, but it's just, it's very hard for us for two reasons. First, the emotional level for me, but second, as this team moves forward, this specter hangs over them because you guys read and heard all the stuff. He, meaning Nico Harrison, is a joke. Like the Zach Lowe story about the lottery room with how many people were openly making fun of the Mavericks and Harrison is like, that should set off alarm bells. It should.
It just taints everything going forward because mm-hmm. it's like, all right, move on. And it's like, okay, well, this guy traded Luka in the middle of the night, basically without warning. Obviously there was buildup to it, but like from the public's perspective, it was without warning. There was no public trade demand. There was no public blow up that we knew about. So like what?
Well, there's also what if
he wakes up and he doesn't like Cooper Flagg anymore? Like it's just, it feels like anything's on the table while he's still in charge of the team.
And there's also a lot of difficult decisions ahead.
Yes.
And trust? That is where I, and so it's like, and Meta Robinson wrote about this for Mavs Moneyball about trust in the organization. You should scroll down the page and find it. She wrote it. I published it on Friday morning. Trust in a business relationship is not something you can get back easily. In sports, I kind of think once you lose it, it's gone. Enough people have said Nico Harrison is never going to work again once he's done with the Mavericks, at least in terms of basketball stuff. And I believe that. Like, you're the guy that traded Luka Doncic, neither here nor there. But for the purposes of moving forward, I want to feel trust in the front office that's making the right moves. Putting Matt Riccardi out there, who, granted, I thought Michael Finley was the assistant GM, but that shows what I know. Putting Rick Welts out there. These are actually really savvy moves meant to build trust. But if I'm the Dallas Mavericks, I have to worry the first time Nico Harrison goes into the stands for American Airlines Center in a regular season game in 2025, is he going to get booed and chanted at? And that is a distraction the team cannot afford. You're supposed to be turning the page. Turn the page fully. Don't just like get out from under this. It's
at this point, it's too, like, they're not going to do it. So,
I mean, maybe. I mean, I read this the other day on the Twitter, and I want to read it to you guys. And it said, it's just a tweet from a guy, but probably like one of these influencer people, but it stuck with me. It said, often when people are stuck in life, it's because they're holding out for the delusional possibility of a costless way of getting what they want instead of just paying the cost. I think about this all the time. I do this with like airline tickets and other stuff I don't want to do. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a really human response. But then he followed up with this. This is especially true when the cost is some kind of embarrassment. And the Adelson family, if you read the Vanity Fair piece, has had a hell of a lot of embarrassment the last 6 months. Most of it not to do with the Mavericks, but the Mavericks are the, let's just call it the icing on the cake. Yeah. So I just don't, you know, they should do it. Clean start, figure this out. They're not gonna.
If they were gonna do it, they would have already done it. I don't see why you would do it less than a month before the draft and free agency now. Because now, even if you did do it, now you got to go through. I mean, I know you want to get him out of there before he could do more harm. But if you throw in a new GM, three weeks before free agency and the draft starts, are you effing up? Are you throwing away another season?
I mean, compared to some of the chaos that the Mavericks have had in years past, I'm just kind of like, you don't care. Whatever. Now what do we know after?
But that? It seems clear that if Dumont wanted to fire him, you already would, because nothing's changed. You know, nothing's really changed except that they're going to get Cooper Flagg. So I have to imagine, Nico sold Dumont on the idea to trade him, and he got approval for it. And I don't think enough time has passed because Dumont is not a savvy enough basketball person.
Right.
Like, why would Dumont suddenly, other than the public backlash, what has happened that has really, changed how Nico pitched this? Because Nico is probably telling him, hey, let's get healthy. We got unlucky with injuries. Everything I still said about the trade, why we did it, it's still here. Let's see this through. And Dumont okayed that. So I can imagine he's probably okayed. Okay, let's get healthy. Let's see what happens. Now, if next season sucks and the ticket sales and the financials go south, but Flag has probably saved them from it going too south. But
sure.
If they miss the playoffs again, then I think, it's all hands on deck. Cause I have a feeling that he's probably been like, okay, just thinking about how Dumont might be thinking. I don't even, I'm just wildly speculating, but I'm sure. I just feel like if he could convince him that he can trading Nico is a good idea, he's probably convinced him that keeping him around to see if the team can get healthy and execute his vision is also probably not off the table. And he's probably got another year unless they start, unless they're like 10 and 30 to start the season, and then maybe he gets fired midseason. But I have a feeling he gets to 2026 as a GM.
Well, then we had one more piece of news. It was quasi-confirmed about a month ago by DLLS and All Cities Network and independent. Well, I guess he's not an independent if I just listed two of the places he works for. Mark Stein said about a month ago that the Mavericks were going to play the Lakers in preseason. and then confirmed today that they're going to play a preseason game in Los Angeles. Now, I've been tweeting less mainly just productivity reasons, but this kind of set me down a little bit of a Kirk shitstorm where I'm just like, wait, what the fuck are we doing?
Take the floor. I want to hear unfiltered Kirk.
It's since been pointed out to me that this contract was contract, like an agreement to set up your regular season, your preseason schedule is probably done, a couple of years in advance, or at least there are talks and discussions and out there, but I'm remembering, and am I wrong about this? I remember reporting to the fact that Nico Harrison was interested in trading Luka heading into the 2024 offseason before the Mavericks got to the finals. Am I making that up?
Was it in McMahon's book?
I feel like this was a thing, and I've read so much on this that
I don't know if it was outright he wanted to trade it, but I mean, if you read Tim McMahon's book, it's very clear that the relationship had soured before the finals run. So,
which is just so hilarious because that's like the end of year two.
Right.
Okay. So let's just just like, go.
There
with
was
the
already there was already bad blood before the finals run.
So you have to think. You have to think that Nico Harrison, and again, given the shitty return for Luka Doncic, you have to think that he had Anthony Davis in mind for as long as he was this was on the table. So wondering if it's, and you know, it's not fair of me to second guess and quarterback like this, but I'm gonna, because that's just what we do as podcasts. Kevin Gray says, no, we're not making that up. Kevin Gray of DLLS as well. And Kevin Gray Sports and YouTube points out that I'm not making this up. Sorry. Thank God. Thank goodness. An actual journalist is here to back me up instead of me just talking out of my ass. But when I heard this today, I sort of just flew off the handle, and I don't really care when the contract was signed. Because if I'm fan X, and frankly, I like to my position is guy with the podcast who is a fan. That is my position. We all have, are allowed our thoughts and opinions. I'm not a source journalist. I don't pretend to be. So my reaction to this is what I think the reaction could be from a lot of fans, which is, you're doing business with the Los Angeles Lakers again. You're going to their home turf with your brand new number one pick, where Las Vegas will be all Lakers fans. It is a home game.
It's a Lakers hub. Yep.
So it's a Lakers hub with Luka Doncic, the guy you just traded away, presenting in front of Cooper Flagg, the guy you just drafted. Like, did Nico and Jason Kidd work for the Lakers? That's what my first thought was. Like, the call is coming from inside the house, and it has been for a while now, and I'm just sick of it, because I've spent so much time. There's another element to this. I've spent so much time telling every fan that comes at me with, well, they just want to move the team to Vegas. Do you know what doesn't dispel that rumor? Playing a game in Las Vegas. I don't care that it's the Lakers' choice. Joe Blow fan is not going to know that. They're going to see, oh shit, the Mavericks are playing in Vegas. Of course they are. Like, how stupid do you have to be with the optics on this stuff? We just got done talking about how they're trotting out every single employee that isn't Nico Harrison. And now we're like, you know what? Let's go play the Lakers on their home turf with the guy we just traded, with the guy we just, and as well as show our new number one pick just how well the Lakers do things.
It's very silly, but it's also, you know, it's probably like, hey, preseason game tickets are hard to move.
Yes.
It's a revenue play. I mean,
you're right.
That will be the most watched preseason game. Like, that'll probably be the most watched preseason game of this preseason. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was also the most watched preseason game of like the last year or two. It's purely a revenue play. Now, I don't know how much the Mavericks get out of it, because again, they're playing in Vegas. So yeah. It's not like the Mavericks are getting ticket sales or concession, you know, arena revenue from that. They'll get some, I don't know what they'll get from it. It feels like doing the Lakers a favor, right? Cause it's the Lakers home. It's a Lakers home game technically. So they're getting the gate revenue. I don't know what the Mavericks get. I'm sure maybe the Lakers are kicking back something to them for agreeing to playing it. There's got to be some financial motivation there. But on the outside of it, it does feel like the Mavericks are just doing the Lakers a favor again by playing in Vegas. You know, they get to be on ESPN. And here, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, the fans that think that the team is going to get moved to Vegas, like, this it just doesn't help us having to wade through comments and talking to people about this.
We also, like, there's the very real, like... There's the Gafford to the Lakers thing, which is, I'm sorry, it's a real trade that makes sense for both teams if you ignore the Luka Doncic trade. And it's just like, there's so many things out there where I'm just like, what are we doing? And it's not a big deal. I mean, I've already gotten texts to the point from various people who are better connected than I am and who do this for work, who are like, you need to simmer down there, Tiger. And I'm just like,
no, you don't have to.
I get that approach. I do, because anybody that takes the time to reach out to me, and it was more than one person, I appreciate the thought, but it's like, you've got to understand the optics. I am not that smart. And when I look at this stuff, I think, what are you doing? And that's all. That's it. It's just, you know.
Also, it doesn't matter what the reasons are, what matters is how it's perceived, right? So the Mavericks can have 1,000 good reasons, but if a bunch of fans see that and are mad about it, you can't just
stop being mad about it.
Well,
honestly, some of this is me being an asshole because nobody's going to even watch a preseason game.
Oh, they'll watch this one.
Maybe.
That's why they scheduled it.
Maybe,
because no one watches preseason games, so they're like, let's sell some ad revenue, let's sell some tickets.
Well,
that's why they're doing it.
Well, speaking of ad revenue, how's that for a transition? Wow, I think I finally figured out our mid podcast ad problem. If you're listening on audio, if you're on video, you're probably going to be like, why aren't these guys talking for 5 seconds? I also need to figure out how to do that on YouTube. So if you're going to reach out to me and tell me how, I would be grateful. We're going to take a short break, and then Josh and I will be right back to discuss four guys, because the Mavericks ended up having a ton of people on their team this year. So doing player interviews takes a second. So we will be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Okay, welcome back. This is Kirk Henderson and Josh Bow, still with Pod Maverick After Dark. If you haven't subscribed to the show for some reason, you should. If you haven't joined our YouTube channel, you should consider that too. We do a live show. I've been doing it Friday afternoons, Mavs Happy Hour. Each time, I'm very surprised at the quality of thoughts and questions that I get. Last week, we didn't really talk too much Mav stuff, but it was good to hear from – we had a man call in from Thailand at 2 in the morning who's a Mavs fan. That was very fun. So we really want your participation. You know, this is a fan-centered show more than anything else. And if you do screen caps on YouTube
reach out to me. Josh and I are old, and I don't know how to do this stuff. And screen caps, I understand, actually help the process. So if you know any, we had one guy who's doing them for us regularly, but I think the Luka trade just took it out of him, and I don't blame him. So, hit me up. Okay, so we got four guys we want to cover. I gave Josh a list beforehand, but I didn't tell him the order. Let's start with my secret favorite Maverick of the Year, Kessler Edwards. Edwards was a two-way player signed. He was like one of the last. He had to have been one of the last signees to the team.
Yeah.
He went to my alma mater, Pepperdine University. He's been in the league several years now. He was drafted by the Nets in the second round back in 2021. He bounced around a little bit. He was the Mavericks signed him for a two-way deal, and he ended up playing 40 games for the Mavericks. And he's not going to be a Maverick next year because, you know, Cooper Flagg exists, but I just want to speak very highly of a guy who realistically projected to matter less than zero before the season started and ended up being a pretty functional contributor. I mean, I think the guy's an NBA player. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I think so too. I think the best way you can sum up the Mavericks season is this stat, is that Kessler Edwards played more possessions at center this season for the Mavericks than Anthony Davis. That just kind of tells you in a lot of ways how this season went. So he played small ball five for most of his time here, which is kind of crazy. He's a 6'7", you know, small forward. Maybe what is he, 6'8"? He's technically 6'8". Yeah. So
the Mavs played him at like four different positions.
Yeah, he was kind of indispensable. Like on one hand, but because he had to play because of the amount of injuries, and they were suiting up eight guys, and you know, he used up all of his two-way eligibility. But yeah, he had to play. And he held his own. Like, it wasn't great. Like, the defense didn't do, you know, playing a 6'8 small forward center, you know, defense isn't going to be great. But like, I don't know. Like, there was just something there. He definitely gave the team something.
18 games starting in an NBA season, which is just not nothing. I mean, he shot 40% from three on very low volume. He only scored 4 points a game. He only played about 15 minutes. But it's like, you go through and there's one I need to actually look up his specific game log here. See if I can find it. There was a couple of games where he was just like out of his mind. And I remember being like, what is going on here? Yeah. There was a stretch here in March when the Mavericks were still fighting, where in five games in a row, he scores double digits, including 22 against the Spurs in that Mavericks San Antonio back-to-back in San Antonio. Do you remember this at all?
Yes, I do.
Where it's like, we're sitting here kind of wondering if the Mavericks are going to tank, but in hindsight, it doesn't really matter. He was key in like a big win. He had 22 points. He had 11 boards. He had three assists. Just, is that the right game? Yeah. 22, 11, three. Yeah. It just, he was a really fun player in so much as I had negative expectations for him. And I hope he finds a place and can stick, because he's not a rotation guy. But as far as a guy goes that can balance out your roster and probably play 40 games a year, he's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the versatility he showed to be able to kind of handle whatever the Mavericks threw at him is probably going to help him stay in the league wherever he signs next. I mean, seriously, he held the fort down about as well as he could when you're just like, go play center. You know, you're 6'8 small forward, go play center. Obviously the Mavericks didn't win a lot of games, so I don't want to overstate it. But they were, as weird as it sounds, they were significantly more competitive than you would expect given the roster limitations they had. And he rebounded pretty well, you know, for 6'8 small ball center. Like, he's out, you know, I mean, he definitely, I don't want to confuse anything and say like, this is, you know, he was like Draymond Green playing small ball center. You know, he definitely wasn't, but he did some things in the pick and roll. He finished at the rim pretty adequately. Again, considering the size stuff, you know, he's going up against centers, you know, when he's catching at the roll man, or, you know, he's the release valve when teams trapped, because why wouldn't you trap a Mavericks guard in the pick and roll when they had no guards? Like, you would just do that. He was just more functional than I anticipated, considering how they were using him. And I think it says a lot about his preparedness And probably, you know, some about his character that he was able to kind of slide into that and, you know, keep his head above water as much as you can.
Big fan. Hoping nothing for the best for him. All right. Next guy is one of our two very, very interesting Mavericks that were acquired in the 2023-24 season. So we have PJ Washington, Frisco native. Played 57 games this year with the Mavericks, averaged 14.7 points, 7.8 boards, 2.3 assists, shot the three ball significantly better this year than he has in seasons past, up to 38%. Kind of the Mavericks do everything guy, and his ankle sprain, I think, was a key reason the Mavericks were not able to compete, you know, more than the Anthony Davis and lack of fit between him and Anthony Davis. I think his lingering ankle injury was doomed the Mavericks almost as much as everything.
Yeah. I mean, he only played 57 games, so he did not meet the criteria for postseason awards.
Nope.
But something that's not talked about a lot about the Luka trade. And again, the injury stuff kind of makes it, you know, like Lively is part of this too. These guys got hurt. They wouldn't have qualified anyway. But, like, PJ Washington, before things went haywire, and this is even before, you know, basically up until Luka got hurt on Christmas, and that's kind of when the season went to hell, he was an all defense. I thought he was an all defense shoe-in. I don't know, first team or second team, but he felt like a lock. The team was playing well. Their defense was playing well, and he was outstanding, man. I mean, he was everywhere. He averaged a combined 2.2 steals blocks per game, which are both nearly career, almost career highs, and doing it for a functional defense instead of, you know, for a Charlotte team that couldn't guard anyone, I think makes a difference. His defensive versatility from being occasional point of attack guy to, you know, okay, now you got to shut down a wing stopper, to now your help side, you know, rim protector. I mean, it was off the charts. I still think, like, his rim protection from the weak side as a smaller wing, he's not a smaller wing, but as a wing player, I think he is one of the best rim protecting wing players in the NBA. And I, you know, that opens up so much that gives Gafford and Lively more confidence to maybe challenge guards in the pick and roll when you know that your back line still has rim protection with PJ on it. I thought that was a huge part of how their defense succeeds, because, you know, you don't necessarily want to play a lot of drop in the modern NBA because guards are too good. There's too much shooting. So when you ask Gafford and Lively to scooch up a little bit in the pick and roll to be a little bit more aggressive in getting out to guards, that means your the paint is exposed, and PJ filled that gap incredibly well. So it's a shame, you know, the Luka trade kind of torpedoed it because this, you know, the Mavericks weren't the same. You know, he didn't get to 65 games, so it wasn't going to happen. And then the fact that he did all this while shooting the second best mark from three of his career, you know, like you said, 38%. He stepped back a little bit on twos, but that makes sense with, you know, he basically didn't get to play with Luka for a whole season. So, you know, he didn't get a lot of easy transition opportunities or easy dunks in the half court. The fact that he made 38% of his threes is a shame because he was a good player for them after the trade deadline last year, even though the fact he couldn't make any threes except timely playoff games. And we were all saying going into the offseason, like, you know, hey, if he can, like, start shooting like we think he can shoot, like he shot in Kentucky and like he shot his first two or three seasons in the NBA, this Mavs ceiling, which is already finals contender, could go even higher because they did all this with him not shooting the three ball well in 2024. And he did it well. It just feels kind of like a waste. Like, it was a really good season.
Is it a fair statement to say that on many nights he was the Dallas Mavericks' best player?
Yes, I have tweets that are jokes saying he's PJ Washington league MVP because he would miss a game and they would look awful and he would come back and they would like win by 15 or 18.
I mean, they really found something with the bully ball element. Yes, with him playing three.
With PJ,
I mean,
at the four and one of the bruisers.
And that's what
the five.
Like, well, again, we'll have to talk about this more as we head into next season, depending on what happens with PJ. But it's like they really neutered that with the AD stuff. Playing PJ at the three neuters a lot of what makes him difficult offensively. But I really grew to enjoy him as a player, which,
coming in, I mean, our former colleague, Iztok Franco, kind of was extraordinarily skeptical of the PJ Washington fit because guys go to Charlotte to die. They just don't matter. They don't play. And PJ didn't play a lot of defense. So over the last 2 years, he's played a ton of defense, does a lot of the little things. I'm going to drop my second Sean Marion comp of the podcast, but like guys who just fill the box score in small ways, I just am always wildly impressed by. And I think if we're we're going to have a broader discussion at some point, whether the Mavericks should trade Gafford or PJ, because I think those are the two most viable trade candidates. I think you look at the numbers and PJ's, depending on your feelings about team basketball, PJ's numbers for some reason might underwhelm. Whereas for me, I look at his numbers and remember his impact, and it's like, gosh, that's a guy who did a little bit of everything all the time.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy. His numbers are good, but if you watched him every night, you would understand just how crucial he was to the team. Mm. And I would argue, just to say, I don't even think you should be talking about should they trade PJ or Gafford. He played so well since he's been in Dallas that, like, for me, it's like, should you trade PJ or Anthony Davis? Like, I know that sounds silly because Anthony Davis is...
No, it's not to me.
I know. But we're a little... I admit I have some bias there for sure. But
Kirkland,
I mean,
Kirkland signature Anthony Davis really gets the job done as far as I'm concerned.
I know. He's not a perfect modern four in the NBA, but he's pretty close to what you want from a starting four. If that's not going to be, if you're not getting like a superstar, if it's not your best player, like a Kevin Durant, or Giannis, if it's not that tier of player, if it's a role player, like he's about as good as you can get as a role playing four man.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is the real deal, you know,
yep.
in terms of fitting that space. So
we're going to have some more. We'll obviously talk about PJ a ton. He's just an important part of what the Mavericks offseason about. Then we have a guy who is just one of my least and most favorite players to talk about in any given moment. What is he now? He is now, this is his third year in the league. Shooting guard, combo guard, inability to dribble guard, Jaden Hardy. What'd you think about Jaden Hardy's season, man?
It stunk.
I mean,
it stunk.
There's a really inappropriate meme that makes me laugh every time where it's Adam Silver saying, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. No. And if Hardy hadn't signed that 3-year deal, he would not be in the league next year.
Yeah. I mean, you just want to see something improve.
Yeah.
And you look at his back, you know, he is the same player that he was when he came into the league. I mean,
good shooter.
Good shooter. Good spot up shooter. Microwave ability when he's playing in the premium optimum role, being able to go off ball, can hit shots. But when you're a 6'3" guard, you have to be able to play point guard. Like, it is hard to be a 6'3" two guard in the NBA right now. It's really hard. And that's kind of what he is. He's a 6'3" two guard. And that's just, you know, if this was 2005, he'd be awesome. Cause that seemed to be the last heyday of players his size with his skill set. You know, there's a chance that he could turn himself into a six man, but he has to be better at passing. He just has to be better at being a point guard. He doesn't have to be an awesome point guard, but he just has to get a little bit better at that part of the game. And he just hasn't in his 3 years. Like, yep. his to be fair, he doesn't turn the ball over a ton, but he also just doesn't create a ton for his teammates either. He just can't penetrate. That's hard. If you're, you know, again, Klay Thompson can't do that, but he's 6'7" and can shoot threes like crazy. Like, you know, if you're 6'3", there's got to be a bit more dynamicism to your on the dribble, you know, on the ball game. And he just doesn't have it.
He was very fun getting the ball on the move when he was already moving.
Yeah.
But when he was expected to break down the defense, it simply could not happen. And I think ball handling is one of these NBA skills we sort of severely underrate, because you figure a guy gets to the league, their handle must be something. And it's just not true. Like, we have somebody in the comments pointing out how bad PJ was in the finals last year. Shout out Danny Collins there. He's the one who had that comment. PJ was bad in the finals in no small part because the man couldn't dribble. Yeah. And it's just one of those things that starts to sneak up on you. And as a guard, you just have to have a bit of a bag, and he doesn't. And the Mavericks had some creative ways of getting him going on movement. When he was going in a straight line at the rim, he's actually pretty fun. His catch and shoot was not bad, but anytime he had to really make a move, he was quite bad. And it's anybody that really wants to argue that point, I will just say, go watch some tape of him. It's not fun. It's not, look, I don't want to tear down a guy. He doesn't make enough money to really get mad at.
Yeah. He was a second round pick.
So. Yeah. Well, he's like pick 37 or pick 42. Like, he's panned out better than I could have hoped than most Mavericks second round picks. Look at the guys the Mavericks got in 2020. They had like three of them. They all stunk. They didn't even make the team at any point. So Hardy's already accomplished more there, but it's just, there's a bit of a ceiling here, and I expect that he will probably get shipped out at any part of a trade package that requires salary, just because he makes an okay amount of money. I have no ill will against him. And in fact, I think his complete inability to understand the moment was a huge factor as to why he was so successful in the 2024 playoffs, because he would just go in and be like, I'm Jaden fucking Hardy. And we watched that like 30 times in the regular season, and it would come to disaster. Only in the playoffs, he was like hilariously effective. Do you remember some of the shots and makes that he made in 2024?
Yeah, he had some crazy. He had some good games. Like, now he didn't play consistently in the playoffs, but like,
you would just pry him out.
Like, yeah, he would. He was very great for like when kid is like, all right, this sucks shit. You guys don't have it. I'm gonna put you in. And the one thing, you could say about him is he was never really afraid of the moment
ever.
ever.
He would come in and be like, all right, let's shoot. Let's get some shots up. Let's see what happens. And, you know, he had a couple pop-off games in the playoffs. You know, he was like the, you know, he had 13 points in 11 minutes in game one of the finals. Like, nothing really to sneeze at. You know, he showed a pulse when a lot of the team didn't look great in that game one. So he had his moments, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but, I always try to be gentler in these than I am in a game when he's really rough, but that's sort of where we are. Then the last guy we're going to talk about tonight was Daniel Gafford, where that's somehow 12 NBA players once you get through Gafford. The Mavericks still have several more we haven't talked about, believe it or not. Gafford, a young man in the league, just I think he might be 27 now, but this is his... I can't even tell. So he's played 6 years in the NBA, at least according to, he's nearly 400 games, 57, another, he played the exact same number of games as PJ. That's interesting. 57 games, just over 20 minutes a game, which is less than you'd think. 12 points.
That nasty knee sprain.
Yes, that knee sprain, which I thought ruined his season and ended up, the fact that he played again is quite shocking. 12 points, 7 rebounds, nearly three of those offensive. Nearly 2 blocks a game, shot a hilarious 70% from the field. You know, he's Dan Gafford. He was a guy that we longed for a long time before 2023. Shout out Dalton Trigg, started calling for him in like the second year he was a Chicago Bull or whichever team he was on. But yeah. Gafford, he's another guy I don't have anything bad to say about because I feel like he played to his role.
He is a very good backup. Stopgap starting center.
Yep.
This season was a little bit of a disappointment for me for him. He's still a great finisher. He's still a great shot blocker. Like defensively, when he contests, he's still one of the best in the league at contesting at the rim. Like he's a good shot blocker and he's a good rim deterrent. The problem is he's not there. Like he's not always there. Which doesn't show up in the stat sheet because you look at the stats and it's like, oh, he's like top 5 in defensive field goal percentage at the rim. It's like, that's great. But what about when he's not there? And that's the problem. I thought defensively was a huge drop off for him. The defense wasn't good with him on the floor as good as it could be this year. Some of that might be how the team changed up its rotation because they didn't have, you know, I think he benefited greatly from having Derek Jones Jr. on the floor with him because I think he needs a high quality point of attack defender to kind of help funnel
guys into him. He gets lost in that like sort of, let's just say 7 to 15 foot range.
Yeah. You don't want him out there, which is tough. And then rebounding, man, he is not a good rebounder. 4.1 defensive rebounds per game from a center that started 31 games, played 57, averaged 21 and a half minutes per game. I mean, it's not good. He is not a good defensive rebounder. He's a good offensive rebounder. But yeah, he's not a good defensive rebounder. That showed up in a lot of games this year. And then also like, you know, he wants to be a starter. You know, we've heard, you know, he prefers a start. I think Mark Stein said something during the preseason. Like, remember when Kidd was like, Lively's a starter when training camp opened. And then like the first preseason game happened or it was the first regular season game and Gafford was starting. And I think Mark Stein said on a DLLS show, he was like, well, Gafford wants to start. And it's like, okay. And there's reporting that, from I think ESPN's Tim McMahon that he expects, you know, this is his last, he's entering the last year of his contract. He expects to be paid like a starting center. When it's like, okay, well, you know, if that's how it is, they might need to move on from him, even if they didn't have this front court log jam, just because it's like, okay, he's not your starting center. Derek Lively is. And even if you think Gafford is better player than Lively right now, I mean, Lively, like that's your future. You know, you don't draft Lively and see what he did in his rookie season to then be like, all right, Gafford, you're the starter going forward. Let's re-sign you to a big deal. Like they kind of have to move on. He's kind of a luxury they can't afford. And also if he doesn't buy into being a backup, like if he feels like he needs to start and he feels like he's a starter and he carries himself like that, just get out ahead of that. You know, you don't want to deal with that as you're trying to figure this out with Lively going forward.
It's a fun one, man. I don't want to dip into this conversation because it's really too much for at this point in the show, but a former colleague of ours pointed out that he feels that Lively and AD's best strengths overlap.
Yes.
And I think it's a fascinating point. I don't know if I agree, but I just love the basketball argument element of it, because it's like if Lively and Gafford run similar timetables, because it's like Gafford's just due for a heck of a lot of money. Like, he's just going to command a bigger contract. I think that sort of self-selects Gafford out of the conversation more than anything else.
Right. They basically have three centers that all could start, because Anthony Davis is a five. That's his most optimal position.
Yep.
Lively's a five. Like, none of these guys are optimal playing four. Like, none of them can shoot. None of them can stretch the floor, so that it makes more sense to play them together. And I get that the Mavericks are trying to kind of zig while the league zags.
Yep.
But it's just, if Anthony Davis is going to play a lot of minutes at the five, I don't see how you can enter training camp with Lively, Davis, and Gafford, because that's just, how do you split that up? And that's just allocating your cap to that much, to that position. There's got to be more efficient ways to do that, effective ways to do that too.
I think that's right. All right. This has been Kirk and Josh. I don't know. Is there anything else we need to talk about tonight? I nearly just kind of closed the show.
No, I don't think so. It is quiet, though, because, you know, they're taking Cooper Flagg. And so we just kind of have to get to the draft. Yep, we're in draft month, though. It's June.
We are in draft month. I'm gonna have a – where we'll have to figure this out offline. I should be fine. But, like, my wife's out of town for, like, 6 days during the draft stuff. So I'm going to be like
– oh, yeah.
You and I may have to record later than we want to. We'll see here, though. But, all right, guys. This has been Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. You're probably going to listen to this on a Tuesday, because I don't think I'm going to get this up on the podcast feed till tomorrow morning. I'm tired. Everybody be good. Thanks so much for hanging out. Be sure to tune into our Friday show. Be on the lookout for that. I suspect, like, I don't know, anywhere from 2:30 to 3:30 start time. It kind of depends on how my day's going. So we'll be out there. Everybody be good, and go Mavs.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.